For the last few months, we've been looking at the identity of our church, which is we are family of God who belong to one another. And the other one is we are disciples of God who follow Christ. And we are family. We are family, we are a disciple, and we are missionaries who are there to share the gospel to the world. And the fourth one, which we're going to start today, the series is on we are servants of God. We are servants of God who worship Him and honor Him, but also by serving Him for what He has called us to do. On this, we're going to look at today, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. Let me read the beginning part of it. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you for bringing us together in this place. As we listen to your word, we pray the Lord will help us to understand this passage. That the Holy Spirit will help us to live and follow you and completely depend on you each day. And bless us this day as we listen to this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to start with a small testimony of something what happened in my life when I was a young man. As the age of 8, 9, my family went through a lot of hardship in India. And my dad, who trusted a friend and started a business, later he come to know it's a scam, and he lost everything in the business. He lost his business. He lost the money he borrowed from the bank. He lost the house, which he has to mortgage for this loan, so this business. And we come to a place of standstill. There is nothing to do to go forward in life. As a young man seeing this, it was very painful. You know, your life has changed from here to all of a sudden just hit the rock bottom. You had to change school. You don't get anything what you used to get before. You know, before your birthday, you get everything already. But now, even for a shirt, you have to keep asking your parents where they could not able to buy one. It took years and years of painful experience of filing a court case and going after this person, but because of the system in India, it doesn't work the way how it works here in New Zealand. So 15 years of court case, it went on and on and on. During that time, there were things, what was God doing in our life? But after 15 years, I wasn't finishing my university at that time. I got a phone call from my sister saying that the judgment came in favor of us after 15 years. But the person who cheated us, outside the courtroom, he came to my dad and he took hold of his hand and he cried and said, would you please forgive me because I don't have anything to pay you back. And my dad forgiven him in that moment. When I heard this, I could not tolerate it in my heart because it's been 15 years of pain that you went through, humiliation, hurt, and this experience, it's all boiling up in your heart. And at that stage of my life, it is hard for me to comprehend this love to forgive somebody who have hurt you all these years. When I look at my dad, I don't understand, why did he do this? But we look at God's word. I couldn't comprehend it at that stage of my life. But when you look at Jesus in this passage, his commandment is to love your enemies. Whether it seems beyond attainment or not, Jesus calls us to love our enemies. This is one of the hardest commandments he gave to his disciples. He calls his disciples, the 12 men to be his apostles. These were the divinely appointed ambassadors who would preach his gospel to the world. As he called them, he began to teach them what it would mean to follow him. He pronounced blessings on his apostles and on everyone who would suffer for his sake, and woes against self-satisfied people who were living for the pleasure of the moment and thought they could do without God. And there's two kinds of people. The one who choose to follow Jesus and believe in him. Here is a group of people who want to follow their own heart and selfish desires and pleasures of the world. So how the first group will relate to the second group, which is, in other words, how should the true disciples of Jesus Christ respond to people who persecute them, is what Jesus is teaching us here. To love your enemies. The love we see here, there are many loves that you read in the Bible. You know, storge for natural affection, and eros, a romantic love, a philia, love for friendship. He was speaking of agape love, the love which is selfless and sacrificial, giving everything what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Jesus did not just speak the word and leave there. He lived and showed us how to do this practically. When you look at other religions of the world, there are people who talk about many things, but none of them lived it completely as what they spoke. But when you look at Jesus Christ, he's the only one who, the Son of God, lived and died for us and showed us the way to become children of God. When we read in Leviticus 19:18, we see that the commandment we read there is, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Thus the commandment has been given to the people of Israel. Love your people, your neighbors. As it gone by, we could see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, where Jesus addresses it. Now, I heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. As time gone by, the teachers of the law added, the love is only for the people who are your neighbors, but not to the ones who are your enemies. And Jesus says something very radical here to this. Love your enemies. Not only your neighbors, but your enemies. It is hard. It is not easy to love somebody who hurts you, somebody who persecutes you. But here God is calling us to share what we have experienced from God. The love that we experienced when we were enemies of God. We see that as the scripture goes on, how to love. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You could see a progression here. Do good to those who hate you. Love with your actions. Bless those who curse you. Love with your words and with your heart. And pray for those who mistreat you, spitefully use you. Here, what Jesus is commanding us to do is, it's a wholesome and a powerful way of expressing God's love. In your action, in your speech, in prayer, you love your enemy. Recently, for the last few weeks, we've been doing this in our home group. I think in other home groups as well, I think, that we've been asking people to pray for those people who does not know the Lord. Take time, take at least five of your friends that you know who are very close to you and pray for them regularly. And we've been encouraging people to do so, to see what the Lord has in store for them. Praying to God, bringing people in prayer, not only their heart is going to be changed, in that process, God is changing our hearts. You know, when you are hurt, when you hate somebody, the best thing to do is bring them to the presence of God and bring them in prayer. In my journey with my parents, when God called us to serve in full-time ministry, we left the city and went to a rural part of India where things were pretty difficult there. So there was a property of the church. The front of the property was taken by some people illegally and sold it to somebody else who bought it innocently. And when we legally tried to approach them to give that way for the entrance of the church, which was partially covered, they were very upset because we are trying to take over their property, but they didn't understand that it does not belong to them. But they bought it and they've been scammed as well, which is very common. But when we tried to take legal measures and approach the council to talk about it, they got really upset. And they came with some of the family members to attack our family. I was not there, but I remember hearing the scream in my sister's voice and my mom's voice, how scary it was. But God miraculously protected my family at that time. And the people from the council said, so today you guys can get things done, but tomorrow you have to live in this place. It's better for you guys to forget about it and move on. So my parents kept it in prayer because those people have been scammed as well. We don't know what else to do. They kept praying for that family. They were praying, God, we've been doing God's work, your work. How can it be a witness for these people if you cannot love these people who are right in front of our church? Years and years of prayer, I think it's around 10 years, there was a time they came to the church asking for prayer because one of the family members was sick. They went to the doctors, nothing happened, and they felt in their heart that Jesus is the only way. And they came to the church, and now the whole family is a believers and a strong believers in our congregation. 10 years of prayers, bringing them to the throne of God for them to experience God's love. You don't know why God puts some people in our life, the pain and the struggle that you go through, but there is something God is doing in their life through you and in your life through them. The best thing to do to bring people in prayer to the Lord. And he goes on to say, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. You know, in Jewish expression, if somebody slaps with back of their hand, which is very humiliating in that culture, which mostly if they're putting you out of the Sanhedrin, or they slap you on the back of their hand, or and you're not part of the community anymore. You're humiliated in front of the community, and you're not part of the community anymore. When you follow Jesus, the people, the disciples went through so much of humiliation, and been cut off from the community. And I come from India where it's a constant struggle and battle, you know, having humiliated in front of a community. That's the way people insult you. And I've seen in that part of the world people who gave their life to Jesus, given up the family, gone through painful experiences, still held on to his love. And we've seen God does amazing things to their life, in their families and their relatives and those people who hated them. Here Jesus says, don't hit them back. If you want to hit them back with the kindness and the love that we've experienced from the Lord, but not with any sort of vengeance or anger. If somebody asks you for the coat, give it to them. If anyone takes anything from you, don't demand it back to them. Here, what Jesus is saying is, give and give and continue to give. Don't stop it. It goes back to forgive and forgive and continue to forgive. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's the golden rule that we talk about. Do to others as you would have them do to you. In those days, we have this statement or teaching in those days that goes like this. It was taught by one of the Jewish elder at that point of time. It goes this way, that which is hateful to you, do not do to others. Which is hateful to you, do not do it to others. But here what Jesus is doing is completely changing it. What Jesus is saying is, do to others as you would have them do to you. The teaching at that point of time is, it's very much of, just stay away from anything hateful. Retract from anything harmful or hateful. But what Jesus is saying is, actively continue to do good to others, not just merely retaining from harmful actions. Actively continue to do good. And he's asking us to do good to those who hate us, so that they can experience the love of God. It goes on to explain, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. What is it? Even sinners do that. If you're expecting something in return and you're doing it, even the people who does not know the Lord do it because they know they'll be paid back. You do it to your family, you do it to your relative. In our culture, we are very much pressurized by things like that. Where when your family member wedding or something happens, you have to make sure you give them a costly gift, and that will be written down. And when some same event happens in your family, you'll be expecting the same gift what you have given to them. For example, if my sister's daughter is getting married, I'm expected to pay something in gold, so that when my daughter gets married, they will come and pay them in gold. That's the Eastern culture way. You know, when I do this, I'm going to get something in return. But what Jesus says here is completely the opposite. You don't expect anything in return, but you continue to do good. But if you try to expect, then you're not understanding what God is saying here. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Love your enemies freely. Do good to them without expecting anything in return, and lend to them without expecting anything in repayment. See, God is not saying here, give away everything. What he's saying here is when somebody is in a real need and struggling, and when you see that, do not make use of that as an opportunity to exploit a person, but let it be an opportunity for you to share the gospel of God's love to this person. And the reason you do that is because Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1 says, you are set free in Christ. Because you are set free in Christ, you don't expect things, anything that in return. You freely receive and you freely give. And it says, then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. This is the part I struggled with. Your reward will be great and you will be the children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Then your reward will be great. So if I follow what Jesus is telling me here, I will be getting a great reward. If that is mean, so by doing these works that I have been asked to, I'll be getting a reward. But the previous passage says, whatever you do, do not do with expecting something in return, with any selfish motive. So here, when I read this passage, I was struggling with, so I give up my material position in exchange of a spiritual blessing. Now, that's selfish as well somewhere in my heart. That is not completely giving myself to God and experiencing his love. But somewhere selfishness hidden in you. Is that what the verse is saying? No. The verse is saying, then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. Your reward is great, and that reward, the great reward is, you are the children of the Most High. And that is your gift. In Christian understanding of this passage is that you are invited into the communion of God. Invited into the fellowship of God. And you're given an opportunity again and again to serve him. What a wonderful thing. As the children of God. When you read Luke 1:32, it says, he will be here. The angel of the Lord comes to Mary and she speaks, and the angel of the Lord speaks to him, and it says about, you're going to conceive and have a child, and this is the child that's going to be. He will be great and he will be called the sons of the Most High. What is that verse? 1:32. Luke chapter 1, 32. Jesus, it's about Jesus. The word of the angel to Mary is, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And here, Jesus is saying, your reward will be great, and that reward will be, you are the children of the Most High. Jesus is great. And he is the Son of the Most High. And here Jesus telling us, when you believe in his word and follow in his footsteps, you will become the children of Most High through him. Amen. What a beautiful privilege it is. What else we need on this earth? As I was thinking, there is a repayment here. God says, do not expect anything in return, but give. But here, we also need to understand, we received God's love when we were enemies of God. And now, it is our turn to show that love to this world as a child of God. What a beautiful passage. As it goes on to say, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. We were wicked ones. We were ungrateful ones. He's not talking about the people outside there who is asking you to love. He's talking about you. He's talking about you who have received the love of God and experienced it in full. to go and share with the world. As a child of God, to reflecting Father's character. And he continues to say, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What a powerful statement. He called you Son of the Most High. He called you the children of the Most High. And now he says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Reflect your Father's character. The previous verse, as we said, then your reward will be great. As I was reflecting on it, and reflecting on the later passage, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Culturally, something kicked into my brain. You know, in Eastern culture, it's a very communal culture. So my dad's name is Ludu Swami. By the way I live and do life in my culture, I bring honor to my father. So when people say, you know what, Alex went through all this hardship, is doing well, and he brought honor to his father's name, you are Ludu Swami's son. By living what my father taught me, I'm bringing honor to his name. So when you follow what Jesus has called you to, you're bringing honor to God's name. What a beautiful passage. Does it mean you're not a son before? Yes, you are. Through Jesus, you are the children of the Most High. Yet, when you follow, you're bringing honor. In that honor, you're worshiping your Father. You're devoting your life for the cause of your Father. And you're serving ultimately for His purpose and for His will. Like Father, like Son. So what happens to those people who hurt you? See, God's love is powerful. But also there are times where people go through so much of hurt. I'm not telling continue to stay as a victim or, you know, when challenges happen in your life, keep on going through it. No, there are times where you find help. We are called to preserve life. When there's abuse or things like that, God has placed authorities over us where we take certain measures and steps. But here, Jesus talking about those people, when you live for Him, those who persecute you, those who hurt you and hate you, how to love those people. When you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, a father, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Is not the God who sends rain only to those farmer who is righteous, He also sends rain to the farmer who is unrighteous. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21, in all this, what God is doing in your life is to trust Him. To surrender your life in the sovereignty of God and believing in His perfect will. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coal on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And Paul writes the letter to believers in Rome. He says, leave room for God's wrath. Let him avenge for you. But you do not take it in your own hands. Trust in the Lord. By doing that, you're surrendering your life to say, God, I surrender my life. All this matter, you are the perfect judge and you take care of it. I just want to follow you and live for your glory. When you look back at Jesus, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, when they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have been returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. When you look at Jesus, when you look at the cross, what he has done for you. He was insulted. He was humiliated. He was spat on the face. He was made to carry the cross across the streets of Jerusalem. His clothes were ripped and he was ashamed. He was cursed with a false witness. He went through all this, what he taught us here in this passage. Yet, on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Even in that moment, when they hated him, Jesus loved his enemies and died for them. And that is what he leaves with us. Are you willing to die for your enemies? Are you willing to surrender your life to the Lord and be a witness for his glory and serve him as a child of God? Going back to that story of, as a young man, how I struggled, now I understand the deeper love of Jesus. When it comes and grips your heart, your whole attitude is completely changed. When you look at Jesus on the cross, there is nothing bigger than his love on this earth. I reflect back on my dad. Now I understand what a transformed heart of Jesus in our life will do. To love him completely, surrendering our hearts. And that is what Jesus is calling us to do in this place. Remember, your reward is your children of the Most High. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time, O Father. Lord, as your children, at times we are weak. At times we don't know how to live in this broken world. But we pray the Spirit of the Lord will help us with power and strength to live as a witness for God's glory, for his word, and for his will. Continue to lead us and bless us. Help us to strengthen. Stand firm on our faith that you have called us to, O Lord. We give each and everyone in this place into your mighty hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.